Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and it's time to labrish. Now, like I always do every week, I ask my listeners online and those who have called in to just take a moment and let's take a virtual trip to Jamaica, land we love, so we can hang out at our favorite spot that we used to when we grew up there, or the last time we visited there, because we definitely know that it can really just relax us and put us in the right mood. So pretend you're there. We're doing virtual everything nowadays because of this cool technology we have. We have virtual schools and virtual hospitals, and just people can find out anything. So we're taking a virtual trip like we always do. So I hope you will just get in the mood of relaxation as we are going to take a trip down memory lane. For my fans, you know that the objective of the show is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And I do want to start off this evening with a disclosure, as I would perhaps call it. For those of you who might be new to the show, I started this because I suddenly got a passion for history and did not really believe that I knew enough about my island that I left long time ago. I came to the United States when I was quite young, in my early 20s. I am now in the twilight of my life, in my mid-70s, going down towards the end. So I call myself a senior's senior. Well, I have developed this passion because I have grandchildren that are now using the technology. And I thought to myself, what are they going to find out about me and the Jamaica I knew? So I got online and I didn't find much. So I decided to do something about it. Now, I'm saying all of this to say, you can imagine, I'm a senior. So I am not as technical as the young people. Neither am I as gifted with sight and health. However, in spite of all that, I decided I'm going to forge forth. And I am so grateful to all of the fans that have supported me and the volunteers that have helped me to proofread my promos. I'm saying all that to say the promo went out this week with two typos on, of all things, the school name. I don't know if any of the listeners noticed it, but I want to apologize because my proofreaders were not available and I can't see much. I can talk up a storm, but when it comes to typing and proofreading, I'm not there. So I want to start off by asking you to forgive me. I'm sure you knew what I meant anyhow. So in the future, if you see one of those, don't even pay any attention. You'll figure it out. And for those who might come by later and don't know what I'm talking about, you need to get on my list so you can know what I'm going to talk about. And you can do that by going to backyardlabrish.com and just letting me know that you'd like to be added to our mailing list, where I send out the information that we're going to discuss or what we're going to labrish about. So without any further ado, I am going to welcome my honored guest this evening. And for the listeners that might come by later on, we are in a series called Education in the 40s and 50s, the way it was, and also the early 60s. But the whole idea is to capture some stories from people who lived the school days during those times before independence. And I want to just quickly tell you before I welcome my guest, that I was so intrigued to find out that this particular guest, Mrs. Hyacinth Webb, who I'll welcome in a minute, spent her whole life in the same district or town that she started infant school. And she's going to tell you all about it. And I thought that is so cool. And I thought that was very intriguing, because a lot of the people that grew up in the country, we call it, Kingston is the capital of Jamaica, for the visitors who might not know that. So everywhere else is country. So a lot of the country folks would send their daughters, sons and daughters, to Kingston for a higher education, even if they had high school in their town or district, because it was more prestigious, I suppose, or they wanted to expose them to other kids that grew up in other parts of the country. So I just thought this was very interesting that our guest had all of her education right there in beautiful Port Antonio. And for the visitors or even the Jamaicans who might not have been to Port Antonio before they left the island, I'll just give you a little intro that, as described, the guest sent this to me. Port Antonio is located on the northeast coast of Jamaica, lacking the urban sprawl, but offers the authentic Jamaica enveloped in a setting of pristine natural beauty. And I happen to have gone to Port Antonio when I was quite young, on a camping trip for a week or something. I must have been 10 or 11. And that's where I met my lifelong girlfriend, who we've been friends all our lives. And I also went there for my honeymoon in 1957. So I know how beautiful that place is. So to spend all your school days surrounded by such beauty must have been quite a thrill. So I see that my guest is here. I also see that I have 954-583 with hands up. So I'm going to welcome my guest first, and then I'll ask the other caller to just hang on for a while I pipe them in. So good evening, Miss Cynthia, this is Margaret. Welcome to the Labyrinth.
Oh, thank you for inviting me to your show. It's an honor.
It's an honor for us to have you here.
I'm so proud of my educational background that I am happy to share my experiences with whoever will listen.
Oh, well, we got a lot of callers on the board, so we have quite a few people listening online. So we're anxious to know what they – and by the way, you noticed that I conned a new word, if you're a Port Antonian.
Yes.
Yes, Port Antonio.
Portlander.
Oh, I got it wrong. But I figure if Sarah Palin can come up with a new word and it's in the dictionary, I can try my luck.
There you go. It's your show.
And incidentally, I must tell you that, you know, because it's a relaxed labrish, don't be intimidated if I put in my two cents or if any of the callers want to interact with you. So
let me just
address calling from 954-583 early to see who it is and how we can welcome them. Welcome, this is Margaret and Hyacinth. Who do I have in the backyard? Was that an accidental hit on your keypad? 954-583? Okay, I guess whoever might have just hit it by mistake. So, Hyacinth, it's all yours.
Thank you.
Take us down memory lane.
Okay. It's quite interesting, and I have so much to say. I hope I will get to say most of it during the one-hour stretch here.
All right.
Like you said, I started my school career in Port Antonio in the infant school.
And how old are you?
Four.
Oh.
Four. That's okay. When you started school then.
All right.
And before I go further, let me tell you this, that the building that housed the infant school, it housed all the schools, the Port Antonio Infant, the Port Antonio Intermediate, and the Port Antonio Upper School, and the Titchfield Secondary School. So that's
wow.
Why it's so important to say this.
Right,
There were two buildings. Originally, the school was built for boys and girls. So I imagine one building was for one and one for the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was universal. All the teachers and all the parents were happy to put their children in uniform to go to school. And the
so you wore uniform to the infant school too?
Yes, ma'am. It was black. Uh-huh. I mean, sorry. It was navy blue and white. But the different style of the uniform would identify the school to which you were going. In the little
uh-huh.
school, we had like a tunic, the navy blue tunic, and then the white blouse coming on the inside with just the sleeves and the collar showing over the tunic. That's
right.
The infant school. Then the intermediate, if I remember well, had the skirt just to the waist, and then the blouse would fit over the waistline, and it
uh-huh.
was also white. And that went through the upper school. Well, when you went to the secondary school now, it was a more sophisticated look.
I see.
Okay.
Now, from the infant school, you had co-ed, both boys and girls?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
But what did we know? You just went to school. And you
right,
were asked,
right.
What class are you in? Oh, I'm in ABC. Because we had a tiny book, and in it were the letters of the alphabet from A to Z, like we said back then. And
right.
You would go to school, you go in and you say good morning to your teacher, and then you have your assembly, you know, you pray and whatever you had to do, and then you were dismissed to your class. And the first order...
May I ask something? Would the
sure.
whole entire school be in that assembly?
No, just
all
the
of
infant
the different
school.
Schools?
No. Infant school. You are in the building,
okay.
The first building after you go through the gate, and then we are on the first floor.
All
that's
right,
the,
good.
That's the infant school. Okay. So you go and you learn to pronounce the letters, and then after that you learn to spell R-A-T, rat, S-A-T, sat, you know,
mm.
all the words that sound alike that had A-T to the end.
Uh-huh.
Then you learn your nursery rhymes, you know, like Jack and Jill went up the hill.
Yeah.
And row, row, row your boat. And little things like that I still remember. And I use as lullabies for my children and my grandchildren.
Oh, that's neat.
Then we use slates. Little slates like approximately, let's say, 6 inches by 9 inches. And
yeah,
a,
I remember those slates.
Yes, and then you had
it
a slate
a wooden
pencil.
Frame.
That's right. And then you had the slate pencils, and you have to say slate pencil, or it's not a pencil. And
with chalk.
No, the teacher used the chalk on the blackboard. had like a, what would you call it now? It had an aluminum appearance, right? But it wrote on the slate, and then you could erase it, you know?
Oh, I got you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the slate was breakable. It could break.
Yes, very much so, yes.
Okay.
But it had a little hole to the top, and your parents would put a string through that, and then you could hang it around your neck to go to school.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And the after that, we graduated to upstairs, which now you're growing
right.
up.
Right. Was it a full day of school when you were in infant school?
Yes. It started at 9, I think, and then you went to recess about 10:30, and about 11:45, because we didn't say 11:45, 11:45, you would be called up to say your grace before meal, and then you're dismissed to go to lunch. Lunch was an hour.
And did you have lunch on the premises?
Yes, you couldn't leave the premises once you got there at that age.
And how did you get? How did you get there?
Walk. Everybody walked. There were
okay.
no school buses or anything. Children walked from miles, I mean 6-10 miles away to come to school. Sometimes they leave in the dark.
So let me ask you this now. You're four. I'm doing all of this because I figure that, you know, years from this, people might just, kids nowadays, even from Jamaica, may be listening to the show. And this is really going to freak them out.
Of course.
As they say. Because you're talking about a young or a small child walking to school.
There you go.
Isn't that something?
At that young age, you wouldn't walk unaccompanied.
You would have somebody take you.
Or the next door neighbor's child who's older than you or something like that, and you try to walk in a group.
Right,
everybody
okay.
Everybody walks, from the teacher to all the students, everybody walking to school.
Okay.
So it was not, you know, anything out of the ordinary to see people walking.
I understand.
From the infant school, we go upstairs. That's on the next floor of the building, same building. We are, you know, we are in going to first standard and then second standard. Those were on the second floor of that building. And, you know, I remember every name of the teachers from infant school through secondary school.
Really?
Really. And it's like I have a picture in front of me of them. It's so real.
Wow, that is amazing.
Sure.
Now, would you like to share with us, because, you know, some of these teachers' descendants may be alive and would love to hear perhaps who you remember most and why.
Mm-hmm. Well, in infant school, the headmistress was Miss Prince, and she lived on the premises. And then there was Miss Parks and Mrs. Turnbull. Those were my infant school teachers. And I can name the others as I go along.
All right.
Yeah. Mightn't remember much in those days, but I sure remember the teachers' names.
Now, what would you say is your most vivid memory of infant school?
Rhymes. And
the nursery rhyme.
The nursery rhymes and learning the letters of the alphabet and then learning to spell and these things that you see around you every day. You know a rat, you know a mat, you know the past tense of city sat. So it was very encouraging. Once you could spell that and identify your letters, oh, you were a big thing.
Right. I'm dragging these things out of you because, you know, now even here in the United States, the whole methodology has changed because now the younger children are going more into art and play and that kind of thing instead of the rote type of things that we did when we were young on the colonial, you know, umbrella.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I am, because I can remember things too, and I think it's just because of the repetition and
mm-hmm.
starting early. I'm not
yes.
saying which one is right or wrong. I'm just saying that I found it so much different when I came here and was raising my children who were born here,
mm-hmm.
you know, as compared to how we started there.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to point that out. I don't know if you felt the same way. Because, you know, now here the younger children are more into art and play
mm-hmm.
as opposed to really engaging the mind on a consistent basis about in a particular way.
Yeah. Those little nursery rhymes and things, you just didn't learn them. You kind of associated something with them, like Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. We all knew then that Humpty Dumpty was an egg. That's why they couldn't put him back together again.
Right,
so you are saying these rhymes, but you are also getting something from it, a lifetime
right.
memory.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so we moved from first and second class, and up there now you're learning to read. And the books that we read were like, This is the House That Jack Built. This is the dog that lived in the house that Jack built. You know, you expand.
Uh-huh.
You start with Jack, then you start with his house, and you go to who was living in the house.
Uh-huh.
And Sea Rover Run. Those were the kind of books that we read as children's school books.
Right, right. Now, were the books that you took home or the books that you read in school?
No, they were your books. Your parents had to buy them.
Okay.
They were your books. Yeah. My next move after graduating from there is going to the next building, which has 3 levels. 1-2 levels home the upper school, and then the top level is the secondary school.
Okay.
So this is the middle school. And we start at third standard. That's what we call them. Third standard, fourth standard, fifth standard, sixth standard. So in third standard, we now learn to write with pen and ink. And I mean what I say.
You have to put the nib in the pen.
You put the nib in the pen, and you have the ink in the inkwell, and you dip it and write, and dip and write. Fountain
uh-huh.
pens were around, but they were not allowable. You had to dip the pen in the ink and write with it.
And you
and
had the blotting paper.
Blotting
right?
paper, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
One of the ink, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And there was a special class that you had to sit and do your letters, and you have to do them well. First, there was a special way to hold the pen, not hugging
uh-huh.
it like I see these children hugging the pen. You had to stretch your right pointer finger down the front of the pen, and then hold it with your thumb and the next finger and write and form your letters. And if you
is interesting. So you could even say that you had to have a pen holding lesson.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So that you can form the letters correctly.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right.
And now we have graduated to exercise books.
All right. Well, walk me through a little. Oh, okay. You graduated to the books. I want to know what happened when you graduated from one school to the next school.
Nothing.
Since you were in the same compound. So we'll
Nothing.
Go to that when you get to that point.
Nothing. We just walk across from one building to the next and go into the classroom, meet the teacher.
So you didn't have like a formal graduation?
No, ma'am. No.
Okay. All right.
No.
You just graduate.
You just march over in the middle
okay.
of the day. You just gather you together and you just form lines and just march over with your little slates and your books
uh-huh.
and go over there, and the teacher welcome you and tell you what you're going to be doing. Now, in my third standard class, this teacher was very strict. They were all strict, but some go to the extreme. Her name was Miss Ning, and she kind of walked with her shoulders broad and pushing back, and her chest out, and she'd tell
Miss
you the
Ming,
way.
Did you say
Ming?
M-I-N-G?
M-I-N-G. Evelyn Ming. E-V-E-L-Y-N, I think. Ming. And she'd tell you that that's how you have to walk upright, because you'll get round shoulders if you don't.
Okay.
And what we did down there now, most of you read and write every class, but you get things added on. Down there, we started now with the crafts. We get the leaves from the coconut branch. You know the coconut tree. So the leaves from there, we peel it off, dry it, and plait that, braid it, and then make placemats with them or hats and little things like that. Yeah, we learned that in that class.
Had like a craft session. So
yes.
Did the boys have to do it too?
The boys went to the workshop. They had a special room. They worked with wood and things like that to make stuff with their hands. And then the girls would do clay, because we had like a hole that you could just push your hands in and come out with a fistful of clay, red clay. And then we would use that to make shapes. So that's our first start at the arts and things like that. But the whole school was governed by the headmaster, who was O.G. Edwards. And he was something to be reckoned with. But, you know, I thank him so much, because today, everything that he taught me, I have memories of them.
Wow.
Yeah. So from third standard, we went to fourth standard. Oh, I did start to say we had now our exercise books with the lines. Small lines, small spaces between that you could write and rest on the bottom line and the top line. It was very important that you don't go over the lines.
Right, double line and single line we used
there
to call them, right?
There, yes.
Uh-huh.
And in fourth standard now, you have to write a little better, plus they add to your craft, and we had to sew. We had to make dolls from scratch. You know, they draw the pattern, and you sew the pattern around and then stuff it, and then you have to make a whole wardrobe for the doll. Every piece of garment. Yes. And then not only do you have to make it, it's being inspected. At the end of the time, you know, the inspectors come in and they check everything, the stitches and everything that you do.
So the inspectors would be the other teachers?
No, they come from somewhere, the Board of Education, somebody from
there. Oh, really?
It
was like an exam.
Right. There you go. That inspection day.
Interesting.
Yeah, inspection day, you dress up and go to school, and God help you if you answer a wrong question. You'll hear about it after the inspectors are gone. Yeah, and yeah, and I remember my teacher very well. Her name was Bessie Ferguson. That was my fourth standard teacher. Then I moved to the fifth standard, and I had Miss Ines Clark, who later became Mrs. Liba. And at one stage, I had a Miss Smart. And
now, all of those people lived in the area of Fort Antonio.
No, some of them came in for the job.
Oh, I got you.
You know,
all
like they live in Kingston or another parish, but because of the job, they are there, and they're there during the school period, and then they go home and come back.
Right,
and
I got
starts
you.
Again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then my headmaster, he had a board put up in the classroom, a floor-to-ceiling board, and on it he had his honor roll students' names. These students graduated, went through his class, and they did well. So he used that to point out every time you did something wrong to show you you can't walk in their shoes. And some of the people we knew, because they were now in secondary school or, you know. And some of them, one of them, Mrs. Young, she was Ivy Marshall, I think. And she came back to teach us. So, you know, he would show us that all the time. And he was very big on current events. You had to know what's going on. And although we lived there in Port Antonio, in Jamaica, we had to know what's going on around the world.
Really?
And every time something comes up, he would open up that world map, which has changed so much now, and he would point out what's going on, where it is, and then he would give you a little phrase to remember the name and where the places are. Like,
that
you know,
is very interesting.
Yes. In Italy, he would tell us, what is the name? Reggio is in the big toe of Italy. Italy is like a foot kicking this ball. So that's how you remember where to go to find this name when he tells you. And you better remember it because you're going to get it in a test. So it was very interesting. And then by this time, we had to know all our times table from 2 through 12. You have to recite it every day. It was on the back of the exercise book, but you dare not look.
I remember that.
Yeah, you dare not look when they ask the questions. And another thing, he was very big on mental arithmetic, for which I'm so grateful, because we didn't have adding machine. We didn't have computers. You never even heard about those. But, you know,
right.
So all you had was your 10 fingers, 10 toes, some matchsticks or lollipop sticks to help you out when you run out of fingers and toes to add, multiply, subtract. Or you would make strokes and then add them up or take them away or whatever. So you had to use your brain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with me until today. Even though I'm computer literate, if I do something on the computer, you better believe I'm going to check it in my head. To make
wonderful.
Sure I come up with the right answers, you know. You had to be current on your tables. You have to know everything about your tables, because he just walked in the room and said, I bought 6 dozen eggs at penny a dozen, what's the cost? You can't lift a pencil or anything. You know, so you have to know how many pennies, how many eggs make a dozen. You have to know how many pennies a shilling, because then we use the British method. So it was pounds, shillings, and pence.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And you have to know your tables. 4 farthings make a penny, 12 pennies make a shilling, 2 shillings is a florin. You know, you had to know those, like, so as he put his finger, you had to answer.
Right.
It was a great method, because when you learn something, you never forget it. And then another thing, he was big on trying to teach you sayings from us Jamaicans, like, you know, members of the, MHR, members of the House of Representatives.
Right.
You remember back then? And one that I remember clearly, and I now can look back and analyze it with what's going on today. I think it was from Mr. Nethersole. I'm not sure on that. But it says, national decline is the sum total of individual failure.
Mm.
But then we had to say it every day.
Mm.
And he didn't understand what that meant, but as you grew older, you understand what he was trying to tell you.
Yes. And that was Mr. Nethersole's quotation?
Yeah, I think it was Nethersole. I'm not sure.
Oh, interesting.
You know, I don't remember for sure.
But your headmaster was thinking, knew the importance of actually exposing the children of that school to what was going on in Kingston, which was the head of the politics.
Right, right.
Interesting. And, very interesting. And I just wanted to do a sidebar here to bring it to the listeners' attention, how important it is for teachers or people imparting knowledge to really have a passion for what they do, because they can make an indelible impression on a growing mind, on any mind, but especially on young minds. Because there you are, even though you didn't understand it in its full context, but you knew it was important and could relate to it as you were more matured.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah, interesting. So back to you.
I tell you, he was very strict. And I will tell you some of the sayings. Then as children, sometimes it came over as being cruel, you know, and harsh. But as you grow older, you grow into it. Never, ever forget these things that he tells you. He would go downstairs to where the workshop is and leave the class, just disappear. And then he would show up somewhere that you don't see him. And you're talking like crazy because you're glad to have the teacher out of the room. And then he will go back and come up the door he went out of. And then he would be standing legs apart, straight up, with his cane behind him because, you know, it was legal for teachers to cane you. So he would stand up and he would say, talkers stand. This is trying to get you to be truthful, you know. And he'll give you like 10 minutes to stand up if you were talking. And if you don't stand, then he will pick you out. If you stand on your own, you probably, you know, get by a caning. But if you don't, guess what happened now? He's not just going to cane you. He goes and he canes the person to your right, the person to your left, and then he cane you. And this is the logic behind it. He said if people didn't listen, people wouldn't talk. If people didn't buy on Sundays, shops would never open on Sundays because, you know, during that time, shops don't open on Sundays. If you want anything, you have to go knock on the Chinaman's window at his back and he opened the window and served you through the window. So he's saying if people didn't buy on Sundays, shops wouldn't open on Sundays. So, you know, you're going to get punished if you see that person get pulled up that they were talking. He said she wasn't talking to herself, so somebody had to be listening. So he caned on both sides. And then he had a
Now, when you got the caning, was it in your hand or on your back?
The girls were in their hand, the palm of their hand. You had to stretch your hand out, so you can imagine
that
drama.
I remember that.
Because you're pulling the hand away, and you're crying, and you're scared, and you're nervous, you know. Or he would go if he's going to get the whole row. Now, I was small, and I was always in the front row when I was in standard six. And he would just drag the cane right along everybody's feet, you know, unexpectedly.
Wow.
Yeah. The boys,
well, our show gets visited sometimes by people who wouldn't even know what a cane is.
Yes.
So you want to describe what a cane is for the people who are not Jamaican or the Jamaicans that don't have a clue what a cane is. They might think it's something like the cane you eat.
No. It's how do I put that? It's like a regular cane, the shape of it. But
a walking stick, like it would be like a walking cane, but it's made of bamboo, wasn't it?
Made of bamboo? Something like that. I'm not sure.
But it was very very thin.
It the circumference is probably a quarter of an inch or something like that. You know, so. The girls get caned in the palms of their hands. The boys, forget it, is another story, especially if you're an upper school boy. He would have you come in front of the class, and he would lay them across the desk. They're standing on their feet.
Oh, really?
Yes, he stretch across the desk, and then he would have two boys pull their pants tight.
Oh, no.
And then he would step up on his toes and come down with the strike.
Wow.
If he's going to get six strikes at the maximum, they'll ever go. But it depends on
what
you
do. So does he tell
you
how many strikes you're going to get?
Yes, he tells you. And then he gives you them one at a time. And then after he delivers the first one, he would tell the boys that are holding the hands, you know, let him go. Let him rub it in. Let him rub it in. The
wow.
guy stand up there rubbing it in, and by the time that kind of soothes up, you get the second one, and depending on how many you're getting. Oh, yes, and you never forget that. You never forget that. Yes. What was the
standard,
other thing?
That would be considered brutality.
Yeah, I know. I know. They don't know what they're missing, you know. They didn't go through all that. But you know what? It was good then because you were disciplined, you know,
uh-huh.
and you didn't have any fights in school. The kids were respectful to the teachers and to their other classmates. And if you had a fight, if he heard that two people were fighting, he goes and he gets a pair of gloves and he puts them on both of them and put them in a ring and said, you want to fight now? Yes.
Was quite creative.
Yes, very, very. And he, you know, by then you had to go up on the platform and recite recitations or poems. And you were trained like you're going to elocution.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to pronounce the words properly. You had to see them at a sight. And let me tell you, there was a special way to hold your book. You had to stand
uh-huh.
up and hold the book out there, and if you don't hold it that way, you're in trouble, you know?
Wow.
And two of the poems that I remembered, and I really, really liked them. One was The Fault of the Age. I'm up there, and The Fault of the Age by Ella Wheeler Wilcox. You have to tell all of that. And you go
mm-hmm.
into it. The fault of the age is a mad endeavor to leap to heights that were made to climb. I'm just saying the first verse because that's what I remember. And there's
right.
another one, the footprints in the sands of time, or
okay.
the Psalm of Life. It's also called that, you know. And then it goes
right.
by Longfellow, and it goes.
All right.
Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. I would love to read that at the end of the show if there is time. Because
okay.
you can still relate to these things that you learned so early and you carried them with you.
Yes, yes.
But we had a lot of fun too. Wait, I have to tell you this. This man, he should have been an economist. He pointed out to us waste, you know, and there was a time when you couldn't get certain things, so you had to do what you have to do, and you know then people, you got your clothes made.
Uh-huh.
You go get your material and you give it to the dressmaker or the tailor.
Or the tailor, yeah.
Yes, and they measure you and then they make your stuff and you get it. Well, he decided that to wear long pants is a waste of material and a waste of everything, and his shoes and socks and everything. So he came to school in shorts, white short pants and short sleeve shirts and a pair of sandals. With his toes all exposed. He said he was saving a lot on the cloth that wasn't needed. You don't have to cover your knees as a man.
Interesting.
Yes. And we took that lesson. And he was strict, too, on your appearance. The kids that came to school barefooted, they came in with their feet well lotion with coconut oil. You could see glistening. And the hair had to be combed. He would run a pencil through the boy's hair to see that the pencil can go freely through it, that the hair was combed. They had to show up their fingernails at the door before they start the school day. So
interesting.
It was, but then, you know, we had fun. We had the fun side. But let me tell you,
tell me some fun things that you all did.
Wait, let me tell you this. I got into trouble with him. I was in standard 6, and like I tell you, I was small. So there was a bench that was broken. One leg came off, so you sit on it. If you sit at one and it goes down like a seesaw.
Yes.
So he was on the platform. He was teaching. I don't remember what subject. I think it was geography. And I was playing Jackson ball under there in the class.
Uh-huh.
So he called on the girl next to me to answer a question. And she had a dress on that had Prestos all the way down the front.
Uh-huh.
So every time she tried to stand up to answer the question, I would unbutton the bottom of the dress, so she couldn't stand up fully. As she fastened them, I opened them again. So he came back there to see what was happening, and he saw the Jackson ball. And you know what he said to me? He said, come, Mama, take your Jackson ball and go stand at 5. So I get turned back. I get put back to the previous class, and I had to stay there. How am I going to tell my mother?
Uh-huh.
You know? But I had to tell her. I couldn't tell her why. She went up to the school, and he told her what happened. So, anyway, the fun part now. I told you that the buildings were on a fort, right?
Right.
So they had, we call them batteries. They were really safety guards. They put up there earlier on they were expecting Spanish invasions. So they built this fort with cannons and, you know, security walls and all that. But we made use of it. And at the close of school for the summer, we were allowed to bring breadfruit to roast behind the battery. And the teachers would oversee, and he would make the boys clear out a spot in the sea so that we wouldn't get, you know, our feet damaged by the rocks down there. And then he had them make rafts and raft us across to Navy Island, which was then owned by Errol Flynn.
Right. So let me ask you something. So the school was near to the water?
Yes. You have the sea right around you. That was called the Titchfield Peninsula. Up in that area is where most of the wealthy people lived.
Right. I have some information I'm going to share if we have time with how the area was developed.
Yes.
So you had a view. Did you have windows you could look through and see the ocean while you were in class?
Of course. And we came down and looked. We were so close. One day, I took my shoes and socks off, you know, my crepe and socks off and put on the bank just to walk into the water. And I walked in, pulled up my skirt, because you weren't allowed to wear pants then. We never even knew about pants, we and my woman. And pulled up my skirt and walked out to, like, my mid-calf in the water. We're having such a good time up there. When I came back to go home, my shoes and socks are gone. I had to go home barefooted to explain to my mother where my shoes are. So, yeah.
So were there other kids in the water with you?
Yes. We went in there as a group. We were doing either chipping stones or jumping the waves or whatever. Yes, it was, we were surrounded. And then we had a lighthouse right across at the tip of Folly. You're just looking at it. If it wasn't water, you could walk there.
Goodness, that really sounds like a great experience.
Yeah,
and healthy. I mean, you had the sea breeze all the time.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, this teacher. Then,
what was his name again?
O.G. Edwards, Oswald George Edwards.
Okay. Now, was he a native of Port Antonio?
No. I think he came from another parish. But he lived there all the rest of his life. And you know something?
Right.
He gave me my first job. After I left, I finished high school, I was standing by my gate because I wasn't ready to go look for work, which annoyed my mother. But nevertheless, and he was passing by on his bicycle. And he stopped and he said, "Hello, Miss Sampson." And I said, "Good evening, Mr. Edwards." And he said, "Are you finished school?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Are you working?" I said, "No, sir." And he said, "Would you like to come work for me?" So I said, "Yes, you can." I said, "No," to your headmaster, your former headmaster. So he said, "Come up to the office." And there I had this job, Port Antonio Agricultural Loan Bank. Yeah, my first job. So I must have made some impression on him when I was in his class.
Wonderful.
He had such confidence to think. Yeah. Well, I know we're moving along in time, so let me touch on the high school.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Okay. I after that incident there, when I get sent back to Standard 5,
demoted.
Yes. But that school, you start in Indian school at 4, and like they would say, you're out school at 15. So, but to go to high school, you didn't have to graduate elementary school to go to high school. You could go to high school anytime from 9 years old up.
Really?
Because you had to pay. You had to go to high school. And the people that couldn't afford, the parents couldn't afford to send them to high school, they would have special classes, private classes that they had to pay for anyway, and they would do the Jamaica local exams. When you go to high school, your exams are put together in Cambridge.
So you would take the senior Cambridge exam that
junior
went to London
senior.
To be graded.
Yes.
Okay.
Junior and senior. So I am going to high school. I am a Catholic, so I went to St. Anthony's Academy, which is an all-girls Catholic school, boarding school.
And now, was that in Port Antonio, too?
Port Antonio, just a little road, a little way down the road from these two buildings. And we had another good experience there. We had boarders, children coming from Cuba, Haiti, and Panama to board there. And their main mission was to learn English, to learn to speak English fluently. So, you know, you were in the same school classes with them. They're learning English and we are learning the different languages. So that was interesting. Yeah.
Very cool.
At 11:45 every day, you had to go to the church to say the rosary. And you're not supposed to be absent. And the day that I decided that I'm not going to the rosary, Sister Mercedes called my name to say a Station of the Cross, and I wasn't there. So, you know, I'm in big trouble. Big trouble. Yeah.
So you remember where you were?
I went to lunch.
In the school, but just not in the church.
I was not even in the school. I went to lunch. Because now you're in high school, you're allowed to go home for lunch or go down the town. And, you know, there was one restaurant there then, Hannah's Ice Cream Parlor. And you go there and eat what you want or whatever. So I went to lunch. And I got in big trouble. So we had Sister Mercedes, Sister Helena, Miss Kleinans, and Miss Duncan. Miss Duncan was the language person. Miss Chambers was the music teacher. Yeah. Then now to Titchfield. I left St. Anthony's after I did my junior Cambridge, and I went to Titchfield. And my headmaster then was Sam Brown. And then I had Mr.
Now, was that co-ed too? Both of those high schools?
No, the former high school is all girls, and it's a boarding school, so they would never have...
St. Andrew. St. Anthony's.
Yeah, that's no longer in existence.
Ah.
So I go to Titchfield. Titchfield is a co-head. But you weren't allowed to, you know, fool around with the boys. You just meet in class.
Right.
And, now you're in the upper school, I mean, the secondary school, as it was then called. But we had to be children in every way. The way our uniform was navy blue socks and black shoes. And you could not comb these outrageous hairstyles. We are in braids and ribbon.
Ah.
And when you get to fifth form, you could, if you straighten your hair, you could get a page boy. You remember what a page boy looked like?
Yes.
You could
get
that. And that is very sophisticated. No more than that. And we had PT or PE, they called it. And that uniform was a white tunic with the sides open from the waist down, elastic in the waist. And it was like about at your knee. And then a pair of bloomers under there. White socks,
right,
white shoes.
Right.
Yeah, they were very, very strict on that. And your uniform.
It would be great to have some pictures of those times, wouldn't it? And I'd like to just take a break to ask any of the listeners if you have had an experience or want to ask a question of our guests. Please just hit 1 on your telephone so we can welcome you to the Labrish. Back to you, Miss Hyacinth.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the bloomers in the PT. PT or PE?
Either PT or PE. I don't remember what they called it, but it's a PE.
Do you remember what a PE or PT session was? What did you do?
Well, you did exercises. You know, jumping jacks, you know, other little slightly acrobatic things that they teach you. And the girls
And
were
this was outdoor or in
outdoor,
a building?
Outdoor.
Okay.
And the girls were by themselves and the boys were by themselves. I remember.
Did you have any games that you remember you played?
Yes, we played netball. We played netball. And we tried to play field hockey, but we tried it with the boys, and they were too rough. And they play cricket, so they lift the hockey stick like they're, you know, using the cricket bat. And I got clobbered in the face one time, and that was the end of my hockey. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I love netball, yeah. And then we had track and field sports. At St. Anthony's Academy, we never did that. We only played netball.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't do any other sports. At Titchfield, we had field and track, and we had meets and things like that. We'd play against Happy Grove. That was our main rival. That is...
I remember that name.
Happy Grove. That was a college school also. Yeah.
Do you know if any of those schools are still... is Titchfield still going on as a secondary school?
Titchfield, you know, high school, you know, Titchfield High. Titchfield High. Yes.
And is Happy Grove High still going on?
Titchfield High? Oh, yes.
Happy Grove.
Yes. Oh, Happy Grove.
Really?
I don't know. I think so, but I'm not sure because I don't know anybody from there and I don't keep in touch, you know.
And that was in Port Antonio also?
Yes. The eastern part, closer to St. Thomas. Those were our rivals. And when we were going to play against them, the girls and the boys never traveled together. The boys in one thing and the girls in one. And you know how we used to go? We used to go in the back of a truck. I don't know if you remember the Jamaican truck.
Right, where they would put a piece of board across and you sit on the board.
There you go.
In an open back truck, no seat belts.
No
straps to hold on to.
Nothing. If the truck stops suddenly, you probably fall in the person behind you. You laugh.
Right.
But it was fun.
Oh, wow.
And we sang our school songs and go there. And then we had sports. I never run because I'm a poor loser. If I'm running on the track and I see people passing me, I just stop. So I did long jump and high jump. But let me give you a little story about that, the sports thing. Early in the mornings, you would go close to the time of the meet. You would go to close to the time that they're going to meet, you know, for the sporting event. Yeah. We would go, the performers or whatever you call them, would go to the school early in the morning, and then your coaches or whatever would massage your legs. You would run around the track, and they would give you certain exercises to do. No, no, it's not the day of. It's like a couple weeks before. You're doing this to prepare yourself. So at this moment, I was spending some time with my aunt and my uncle-in-law. And he didn't talk much, but when he looked at you, you're scared of him. So I asked her, could I go to the training? She said, yes, if I don't make my uncle know. So I said, okay. So early in the morning, I hardly slept that night. Early in the morning, I got up and I tiptoed out of the house because people coming from beyond me were supposed to pick me up, but I was scared they'd come and knock on the door and wake him up. So I started walking in the direction to the school. We have a big town clock on the church about 2 miles from where I'm coming from. When I reach by, when I reach by the church, the clock struck one. I mean in the AM.
Really?
I was scared out of my skin because this is the time when they said the duppies go home.
And it was really 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
We're supposed to get there at 5 o'clock. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, and they said the duppies go home at this time.
So you weren't afraid of people?
No, there was nobody on the street. There was nobody on the street. There was just the duppies going home, and I'm scared of seeing one. So I walked briskly back home. No, I can't go in because I don't have a key. Then nobody walked with keys. It's the one key in the house, and whoever is in the house let you in.
Right.
So I sat there on the veranda. I wouldn't even sit on a chair because it might creak. So I sat there on the veranda and listened to the clock chime, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Then about 4:30, guessing, I get up and walk to the school and train and come back.
Now, did your uncle ever find out that you snuck out of the house?
No, I didn't sneak out. I had my aunt's permission. But
I know, sorry. But as far as he's concerned, you didn't leave.
No, because I'm a girl. You're not supposed to be out there by yourself, especially that early in the morning.
Right,
so
I see.
He never knew. So that's one of my memories. Yeah.
Wow.
The next big thing that we used to do, you go to school. School starts at 8:30. We had a big bell in the on the veranda at the end, and that tells you when the periods change. You don't change your classroom. The teachers come in to you for the different subjects.
Right.
So in the afternoon, school ends about 3:30. And then you go home, change, and come back for your games. We weren't allowed to wear shorts or shorts on the street. You have to wear a skirt over it. And you're not supposed to be seen in your uniform after school hours.
Ah.
You come back to school to play netball or whatever. There was a lady living at a crossroads, and she made the most delicious Jamaican, I'm not going to say candy, because candy was a special one thing that was red and white. It had white stripes and it was minty. That was candy.
Mm-hmm. Peppermint.
Peppermint candy.
Peppermint stick?
No, not this. The candy, its form, it had a shape of its own. But yeah, the peppermint stick too. And she made these things. She made coconut cake which is the one that you cut up. She made the grater
uh-huh.
cake.
Drops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she made the grater cake. She made the white one with red in there. She make pinda cake. She make, I don't know if you ever heard of wongla. That is
yes,
something
ma'am.
That, yeah.
That one is sort of glassy looking.
Yeah, and it stretches. You put it in your mouth and you hold it and it stretches. And she had
okay.
all these things, gizzarda, toto, you name it. So that's what we were hooked on. And whoever was in town would pick up a bag and bring it, and we would split the price.
Okay.
You know, cost. And that's part of our fun. And the green June plum.
Uh-huh.
So you would eat it either in the back porch or in the hat room, because nobody's supposed to see you eating this.
So what did you say, the hat room?
Hat room, yeah. You had a room that you hang your hats in. The hat
oh,
was
so
part
hat,
of the uniform.
Hat was part of the uniform.
Yes. And we it was Jippy Japper hat with navy blue and gold ribbon around it with the bow to the side and
wow.
the emblem that bore the motto Virtute et eruditione, virtue
which
and
means
virtue and study or hard work, whatever. It's Latin.
Very good. So you, the hats would be marked with your name?
Yeah,
or
you
would
put
you
it
know
on
your
the
hat?
Inside. You put, well, you know your hat because it's shaped after your head, and you wear it a few times and you hold it a certain time. And then part of the rule was that you're to have elastic attached to it so the wind doesn't take it off your head.
Ah, so you put the elastic around your neck.
Under your chin.
Down over your ears.
Yes.
I think younger Jamaicans would be very intrigued to hear all these things.
Yeah. Then, you know, they were very strict with that. And like I said, you couldn't put your hair up in any fastidious hairdo, they used to say.
Up sweep.
So,
we used to
yes,
call it up
no,
sweep.
No, no. One morning I was going on my way to school, and just at the entrance of the school gate, my headmaster turned the corner. I couldn't do anything but just slap the head on the hat on my forehead. Because my hair, it was parted down the middle, and I had one braid on one side and one on the other side and 2 3-inch wide bows, one on
mm-hmm.
either side. So where am I going to put the hat? So I had the hat in my hand, and when I get to the school gate, I put it on the front of my forehead and then put the elastic in the back so it can hold it on.
Mm-hmm.
My bad luck. My teacher was there, and he never said a word to me. And when we went to assembly, after assembly, he just announced from the platform, they used to call you by your surname. Samson, see me in my office. So, you know, I had to go to his office to get my detention. So he said to me, he said, you had 2 nice bows in your hair. I said, yes, thank you. He said, so where did you wear the hat?
Uh-huh.
He see me already, so what am I going to lie? He'll say anything. I said,
uh-huh.
I just put it on my forehead, which he already saw.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, those are my little
troubles.
So
you were punished because of that?
Yes. I had to do a detention,
boy.
I think, was 100 lines of, I must always wear my hat, you know, something like that. The hat is a part of my uniform, something like that. Yes.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was something else. Yep.
Ah, that is
very,
so
very
interesting.
Yep.
Well,
so,
you know,
go ahead.
We have some more time.
Oh, when I was in elementary school, I forgot to tell you this part because it was a fun part. At recess, we would go out there and you pick your type of whatever you want to do for recess. We played baseball. But with the fist, you punch the ball. And the rules were just similar to the baseball that they play here. But only you punch the ball and you run.
Instead of batting it, you punch
Instead
it with
of,
your fist.
You punch it with your fist and you try to make as many bases as you can make.
So
and the ball was soft. The ball was soft.
Yeah, it's a tennis ball.
Okay. Uh huh.
And before, when it's getting close to recess time, they start picking who they want on their teams. Because if you can't run and you can't sud, then say you sud the ball when you hit it far. They don't want you on them team. You know? So they pick the team. Recess is 30 minutes. And let me tell you, the teacher, the headmaster, he was out there standing atop the steps watching everybody. Because the rule is, do not go to the pad for water after the bell rings. You should have done that before. You know you want water, get it before the bell rings. Because, you know, when the bell rings, everybody run to the pipe, so you're late getting in.
No, all right, so let's just talk about the pipe now, because I'm telling you, everything has changed so much. See, we're talking about a stand pipe, like a standalone pipe. Is there a cistern under it?
Yes, but this wasn't a standalone. It had like 6 or 7 different taps that you could, and the water came up to you.
Oh, so it was a sophisticated thing. Oh, I know why. Because, you know, that building was a hotel in the 18-something, but go ahead.
No, it wasn't a hotel. It was a fort.
Right.
We still have
the
guns, the cannons, and all those things on the lawn.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that there was, I guess it was made for the kids because it's right out there, you know, next to the school building there, and it's outside. And the part that you turn is underneath. So when you turn that, the water comes up to you. And,
right, and it comes up in all 6 or just the one you turn?
Yes. Oh, no, the one you turn. The one
okay.
you turn. They were all
and you just
attached.
Put your mouth over it and drink it,
right.
Similar to,
right.
Okay. Oh.
Right. And you couldn't stop to drink after the bell was going. You got to run to come into class. And if you walk, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. Yeah, so that the baseball was one of the things that we played at school. And then the other one was Mama and Pickney, mother and child.
Uh-huh.
So we'd go out. When we started, we'd go out and we'd say, children, they'd answer, yes, Mama, where have you been?
Yes, I remember that.
Yes,
where have you been to?
Yeah, Grandmama.
Oh, my gosh.
What did she give you? Bread and cheese. Where's my share? Up in the air.
Up in the air.
How,
I remember
how,
it.
How can I reach it? You climb on a broken chair. And she says, suppose I fall. You says, I don't care. And then you better run. Because if she catch you.
So that is,
yeah,
is your mother chasing you because you say, I don't care.
I don't care.
I
and
remember
the
game as you were saying it to me, but I didn't remember why you would get chased.
Yeah, because you say, I don't care.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
The other one that was, I had to do this every day. We weren't supposed to, but I did it anyway. The forts that they build for the security, we call them the battery walls. We would jump them. We would jump from one to the other. And they like probably 3 to 4 feet apart. And we would just run and jump from one to the other. And if you get caught, you get punished. But you do it anyway.
So are you likely to fall? Were they high?
They're high. They're like, let me see now, they're probably about, I don't know, probably about 6 feet off the ground.
Wow.
Yeah. But it was
But
fun.
Then you are wearing crepe soles, so it had a lot of gravity.
Right. You know, and skirts.
Uh-huh.
This is elementary school because you dare not do that when you're in secondary school. You have to be ladylike and you don't speak loud and you don't know eating on the street. And and people obeyed. You didn't have to have people watching over you. You know that's what your school called for and you just obeyed.
Right,
then,
right.
In high
because
school,
you didn't want to be caught. The minute anybody see you in the uniform, they would likely, they could report you.
There you go. And then we had our teams. We had a football team, which is soccer, and cricket team. And we would play other schools, other high schools. And then when we have if we are the home team, we would have to accommodate them after the match the students. So we would have to make sandwiches and tea for them. Mm-hmm. We're British, you know, so it's tea and sandwich. Or in the hottest days, it's lemonade. And the sandwiches didn't look anything like what we buy in the deli. It was just like finger things, you know. Mm. And you cut them in some pretty patterns and serve it to the players after the game.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it wasn't just all studies. Everything, you know, they emphasize on everything. And everything you do, you have to do the best you can. And we were proud of that. And then, can I tell you, after, I think it's in the mid-70s or so, when I lived in New York, I got a few other alumni to start up an alumni association there in New York. And we worked very well. And the headmaster then was one of our group. So we were so happy to work with him, and we did fundraisers in New York and sent money down to them, bought sports, you know, football and those kind of things for them. And I think we bought them the first computer.
That is so nice.
Still involved, yes, and get to meet the younger set.
Now, did you, so you did not have any Kingston school experience at all?
No, ma'am. I moved to Kingston after I got married.
Right. Not even in terms of sports, because when your sports were within your parish or in an adjoining parish.
No, it wasn't just in the parish, you know, but somehow we didn't go to all of them. I know we went to Happy Grove because they would play the boys from Manning School. For the Manning
that's
Cup.
That's in Westmoreland, yeah.
Yeah, and they would play some other schools in Kingston, you know. But I know they played Manning's and they played Monroe. Yes, but...
And in those days, they didn't have, like, the cheerleaders, like they... I don't know if they're having... Do they have the cheerleaders in Jamaica for the boys when they play ball
they
like they do here?
Now. They have them now, but you know what? In our time, the girls, we had our cheers, and we went in our uniform. So, you know, you can't do any jumps or anything. You just shout. And, you know, Titchfield boys have nice, good sea breeze. Titchfield boys can jump like fleas. Titchfield.
Wow.
Yeah,
you remember it.
Yes.
Interesting. Very good. Now, do you remember any other cheers?
No, I can't think of any right now.
Titchfield boys, what?
Have nice sea breeze. Titchfield boys can jump like fleas.
All right.
Yeah. And then we had three houses that we competed against one another. They were named after two headmasters. We had what was the first headmaster of the school? Major Plant. We had the Plant House, we have the Brown House for Sam Brown, and we had the Grasset House. Grasset was the mayor of Portland. So those were the three houses, and the Grassets were gold, and the Browns were brown, and the Plants were green and white. That's the way it was.
That's the way it was.
That's
well,
the way it
was. Really a fascinating trip down memory lane. And we do have a few minutes, so I'd like to invite any listeners on the board that want to put in their sidebar or ask our guest, Mrs. Hyacinth Webb, a question or just make a comment. Please hit 1 on your telephone, and I'll know like you were used to be do when you're in school. I'll see a raised hand, and I'll be happy to welcome you to the Labyrinth. So do I have a raised hand anywhere? Is there anyone who would like to ask a question or talk about their experience, or did you go to Titchfield or know someone who did. So please let me know. And there's lots of callers on the board, so feel free to let us know if you'd like to interact with us. I even see a Skyper. I see someone, when I see the numbers 1111, I know someone is Skyping in. So if the Skyper want to, if someone using Skype would like to interact with us, I think if you hit 1, I should still see a raised hand. I am not sure about that. But we have more than one person Skyping in. So I want to welcome everyone to the Labrish tonight in the backyard. And I want to remind you that if you would like to share your school experience the way it was when you were going to school, please feel free to get in touch with me and let me know. I'd love to have you as a guest, because I don't know about our callers on the board tonight, but I know me, I never met anyone who went their entire school days or spent all of their school years mostly in the same general vicinity, the same area. So I think that was a very unique situation with you, and I'm sure a lot of people who were raised in that part of the country, in Port Antonio, and had that experience. I think it's really cool, especially that you had all of that picturesque beauty around you. So I think I see a raised hand at 561-278. I'm going to open up the mic. Hi, this is Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have?
You have Jenny Smith, Margaret.
Hi, Miss Jenny. How are you today?
Oh, I am fine. I'm fascinated, and I was with Mrs. Webb all the way. She brought back
really?
So many memories.
Isn't that interesting to know that, you go to school so all through there? Oh, wow.
We are on opposite ends of the island, but our experiences are so similar. When she spoke of the hat room, I remember we had two hat rooms at Manning's. Then she spoke of the Jippy Japper hat with the elastic under the neck. I remember Jippy Japper. Yes. And the bloomers. Oh, God.
Yes.
We had
young Jamaicans would know what a bloomers is.
They don't know. And the bloomers.
Would you like to describe it to them? Because I'm sure one of these days they might just wander on backyard lap.
The bloomers were like panties, but we wore panties under the bloomers. So the bloomers were really like shorts. Mm-hmm. They were baggy. You had elastic in the legs and elastic at the waist. And when you put that on, even if you fell down, you went over head over heels, nothing showed because
nothing would be exposed.
Just the big navy blue bloomers. And that was under your skirt and under your shorts. But I have to say this one about shorts. We were allowed to wear shorts for our physical phys ed periods. But my father, of course, he couldn't know that we were putting on shorts. So you know how my shorts were washed and put in a pillowcase and pinned up on the clothesline. Because he could not know that I was wearing shorts. He was one of those old-time men. I mean, you couldn't wear shorts. Oh, God, no.
Well, Miss Jenny, you want to tell our listeners where you're calling from?
I'm calling from Lake Delray in Florida. Delray Beach in Florida.
Well, welcome. Backyard. I see that we don't go away, Miss Jenny. I see we have a raised hand in 646-479. I'm going to open up the mic. Welcome to the backyard. Welcome to the Labrish. Wait a minute. Your mic is open. Who do I have?
This is Lay in the Bronx.
Oh, hi, Mr. Lay in the Bronx. Are you enjoying the Labrish, sir?
Very much so. The story puts a face and a life on what goes on at Titchfield. I was fortunate enough to go on a vacation in Port Antonio and had a tour of Titchfield, and about 5 years ago, and you hear about it. You play against the teams, but you don't know where it is, and that was a wonderful experience. I wondered if your guests are aware that there is a whole year celebration going on for their 220th anniversary.
No.
No, I didn't know that. I went home for the 200th anniversary, and I was part of the members that organized. We organized from New York and brought down people from London, from Canada, and from New York. And then we met down there and had a gala time.
Yes. This is a whole year, so it's possible that, you know, that might have been part of the celebration. It seems to be a very active alumni association.
Yes, they're active. If you just try to get in touch and stay in touch with them.
And also I noted that the motto for the year was posturing for tomorrow, excellence through reflections and celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
So, it doesn't matter what month you went there, you would expect to have a great time.
Yeah.
Meeting.
Well,
yeah.
And judging what Hyacinth had to say, there's a lot to reflect on.
Yes.
Because it seemed like they had quite a structure there. I mean, not physically, but, you know, in the whole way, everything. Can you imagine going through from infant school to high school in on the same compound? Think of the bonding with the people that come up with you. You know what I mean? I think that was really cool.
Yeah, I wondered about that. You know, that's really, really, really very interesting. In that school in those times, did you have, like, one teacher handling the whole of the, what would you call, the ABC school? Or you had several teachers or a couple teachers?
Yeah, we had Miss Prince was the headmistress, and she lived there. And then we had Miss Parks and Mrs. Turnbull.
Okay.
I don't remember too much in detail what each one did. You know, and then upstairs we had Miss Clara, who was the headmistress. She lived there, and we had Miss Scott and Miss Morrison. And I forget to say, I was a brownie, you know, made my little pledge.
Okay.
Yeah.
But today,
the school has changed because the infant and upper school has moved out, and it's just the high school that's there now, and they made additions to it. So it's a little different from when I went.
Yes, I had some good friends who were the daughters of one of your headmaster as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Geddes?
Yes, Mortimer Geddes.
Mortimer Geddes, yes.
Yeah.
I know his daughters very well.
Really? That's nice to know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. You know, the story about him is he had a photographic mind.
Mm-hmm.
And his daughters, all his daughters came with the same thing. They all had their photographic minds.
Mm-hmm.
And the elder... Yes. And the elder daughter... she was the youngest Jamaican that graduated from the University of California.
Oh, really?
Stanford
we
University.
We just have a couple of seconds left. We can still talk, but the recording will end.
Yeah, well, I don't want to gobble up any more of your time, but this is very enjoyable to hear the contrast in your school and the contrast with the other guests that preceded you, how, you know, we all went to school and did almost the same things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Rules are rules.
Yeah.
It's so interesting for I think even visitors to the site to know that we, although the island is small, but we all had different experiences wherever we lived. So, Miss Jenny, I thank you for joining us again. And Miss Hyacinth, it has been such a pleasure. I hope all of the listeners, the callers in, enjoyed the show. And I do hope that you'll spread the word about this special series that we're doing so we can have some more lively labrish going on here about the way it was. Because I'm hoping that the younger generation would one day find the information interesting, just as
Thank
we
you.
Are finding it interesting now to hear about each other's experience.
Yes. Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for being here always, and I really, really appreciate you and ask you to continue to support the Labrish by telling your friends about it. And always remember that everything is archived on Blog Talk Radio, so if you click on the link, you will always find a show interesting that you can listen to we have to learn to multitask now. So while you check your email or do something else, you can be listening to an interesting show. So, Miss Jenny, thanks for your support. Miss Hyacinth, thank you so much for being our very interesting guest. And Mr. Lay, always our loyal listener from the Bronx, thanks for being here.
And welcome, Miss Jenny.
We thank you.
Thank you for
having
me.
Really enjoyable. Thank you and good night.
Thank you so much. And as I always say, let us make it a great week, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good
night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye, all.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.